Well, I want to take you tonight to four markers in the extraordinary life of Mary. In Luke chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 26. And I want to show you four very big clear markers. As I was reading my Bible and just reading through this account, of course, yes, I was thinking about preaching this month on the birth of the Lord Jesus. But as I went down this chapter and I read it and thought about it, a few things really jumped out at me, and they became quite remarkable. You'll notice in verse 28 you have the word blessed, where the angel came unto Mary and said, Hail art thou, that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. So I just got my pen out and I underlined the word blessed. And then as you go on down the passage, you will find right on down this very account to verse 42, and you will see the word blessed appears two times. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. So there's another blessed. And then on down in verse 45, you'll see that this word blessed comes up again. And blessed is she that believed. And then down in verse 48, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. So there are these four markers where Mary is pronounced to be blessed. Now, looking for a sermon, of course, it really became very easy because in the first blessed, she was blessed because she would be a virgin that would bring forth a son. And then also that verse 42, her blessed would be her womb, that she would be the vessel of bringing forth the Lord into the life. So firstly, she was a blessed because she was a virgin, because she would be the fruit of her womb, and she would be the vessel of bringing the Lord. And then down in verse 45, she is blessed because of victorious faith. Blessed is she that believed. She believed the message that was brought to her. And then in verse 48, you have the virtue of humility. And you will see that she regarded, for he hath regarded the lowest state of his handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And of course, having read that and seen those things, I said, aha, here is the outline of a sermon, right there in the very text. And these things are just made for preaching. And they give us an insight into what was happening in the life of Mary upon this announcement. Now remember that we're talking about the most outstanding woman in the Bible. The woman who proved her obedience, her humility, and her loyalty all her life. When the Lord was born and but a boy, she hid many things in her heart. She never doubted them. She waited all those years raising her son. And then, of course, when he began to minister, what a blessing it must have been for Mary to hear the Lord Jesus preach. And then she was there also at the cross, right to the very end. Faithful, loyal Mary unto the Lord. Now, no other woman in the world has been as blessed as Mary. And even though we be Protestants, we have no problem in giving the honor to Mary, which the Bible gives to her. We ought to recognize the remarkable event that took place and the birth that came forth from her own womb. So tonight, let us look at these four markers. She was blessed because she was a virgin. She's blessed because she was the chosen vessel, blessed because of victorious faith, and blessed because she had the virtue of humility. And I hope that we will learn many things tonight as we look at Mary in this situation. Now going then to verse 28, you will see that God chose Mary. She was God's chosen vessel. You'll notice in verse 27 that Gabriel was sent to a virgin, not any virgin, but one virgin, and her name was Mary. God had Mary in mind. Now, of course, there were many young women in Israel who would have lived in the hope that she may be that chosen vessel. But here, this Mary, was the Lord's sovereign choice. Now, God sent Gabriel on a mission just to Mary, not to find any virgin girl, but this particular Mary. And really, you can look at this as God's sovereign choice or his sovereign election. He will have mercy on whom he will have mercy. But no doubt God needed a virgin to bring about the virgin birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this was to be Mary's firstborn son. Now, as you look at her being blessed in this way, to be chosen as the virgin to bring forth the Lord Jesus, you'll see in verse 27 that Mary had God's testimony of being a virgin. There's always a debate, there's always a skewed idea that, well, how can this be? How can this miracle take place? Was she really without ever relations with a man or with Joseph? Was she truly a virgin? Well, it's good to have the Bible's testimony on this. And you look at verse 27, you will see that she had God's testimony. God said to Gabriel, go down, seek out a virgin, espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So God said, God announced that she was indeed a virgin, having never known a man. And so Gabriel flew all the way down from glory, down to earth, down to Israel. He bypassed all the major centers, Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and he made his way over Galilee down into this relatively obscure little town called Nazareth. And there he found the one, the Mary, the only Mary, the Virgin Mary. And of course, he was able to discover her address, and he found Mary herself. And although she had a very common name, this would be the Hebrew name Miriam, very, very common name in Bible times. But here, Gabriel finds the Mary. Now, that is how God works. He deals in specific names. He puts the names of his own people on the very palms of his own hands. God works with individuals. And this sovereign power and ability of God to elect, to choose, to seek out that one whom he will bless or save, God is in that business all the time. And every time that he converts and every time that he brings a sinner out of sin into the knowledge of the Savior, it is God's mighty sovereign choosing work doing it. Now, Christians here tonight can vouch for the work of God calling you by name. The Lord's sheep hear the shepherd's voice, and they know that voice, and he knows their name. Now, we might ask, why Mary? Do you know the answer to that? Well, I don't. And as I ask, why Mary? I say, why me? Why did the Lord in his grace choose me to be his child? I can't answer that. Was I better? Was I wiser? Was I something unique about me? No. Paul called himself the chief of sinners. And I think we can all put ourselves in that category, that we were lost, corrupt, undone, hopeless. But God takes the least, the obscure, and yes, a sinner, and we'll get to that later in Mary's testimony, a sinner, and chooses that right one for his own purpose and for his own glory. So if you're a Christian tonight, rejoice. Rejoice that the God of grace is our God. And he calls us and brings us into union with the Lord Jesus. Even though it is all God's plan and God's purpose, we are the chosen one. In verse 42, we move to the second blessed marker. And you'll see that she was blessed as the sanctified vessel. It says here in that verse 42, blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And so God took Mary's womb to create the body to unite with the Lord Jesus, the second person of the Trinity. And here is the marvel of the miracle of the incarnation. Fashioned in the likeness as a man according to the flesh. And God took Mary, a virgin, and placed within that womb the seed, the embryo that would become the very body of the Lord Jesus. This is the wonder of the incarnation. Now, Mary was just a normal woman. She was not immaculate. That really is a false idea. And indeed, the Church of Rome has only come up to declare that in 1854. So it took something like 1800 years for that particular doctrine to be pronounced as the doctrine of the Church. Now, it had been bandied about long before that. But the immaculate conception of Jesus is real. He had no sin. He was conceived sinless. He himself in the flesh was sinless. But Mary was sinful. And she herself needed to be a Savior. But the marvelous miracle, and you'll learn of it here in verse 35, is that that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This child born in Mary's womb would be without sin in any way. Now, here is probably some of the deepest points of theology and thinking that man will ever meet. We know that there was no passing of sin from the father to the child because he was fatherless. That's the virgin birth. The mystery and the wonder is the sinless development of the child in the womb. We also know that Mary was sanctified so that there was nothing of the sin nature in her that passed to the child. And I think that's an equal miracle to the virgin conception, that this babe should begin to develop in the womb. But more so, that as that babe spent the normal gestation period in the womb, 9 months, that there was no contamination of Mary's nature passing from her body, although it was her body that was nurturing the infant in her womb. How can that be? Well, back to verse 35. Because Mary asked the very same thing. In verse 34, Mary said unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. And so during that gestation period, during the development of the child in the womb, the Holy Spirit was hovering over Mary, ensuring and bringing forth the sinless body of our Lord Jesus. Now Mary asked how, and the answer was, wow. That's about it. We don't get any real explanation. There is no medical person in the world whom can sit down with you and explain the biology of all of this. And the conclusion is that with God, nothing shall be impossible. I read about a young medical student who, growing up in the United States, that he had tremendous difficulty with this supernatural generation of Christ in a virgin's womb. And obviously, if you're a man of science and a man of medical research, you're going to have many thoughts about how could that possibly happen. And during those years, he pondered all the perplexities of it. But finally, he finished medical school and he went out into the backwoods to start his own practice. And there came along a backwoods preacher, just an itinerant preacher. And he did more for this young medical doctor than any other. And he simply said, if there is anybody here, he was saying in a meeting, if there is anybody here troubled about the mystery of God's becoming man, I want to take you back to the first chapter of Genesis and the first verse, in the beginning, God. And that's all the science you need. That's all the learning you need. In the beginning, God. God was there to create the cells of human nature when there were none. God was there in Mary's womb to create the very body of the Lord Jesus and bring forth his Son to be the Savior of the world. You see, we need to remember tonight that Christians do not live on explanations. We live on promises. God promised Mary that she would bring forth a son. And she asked, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And God gave her promises. Mary is a model for us. When God works salvation and grace in our hearts, he also makes us holy. This is also a miracle. Our sanctification is a miracle. And there is a text in the book of Galatians, chapter 4:19, and it talks about Christ formed in us. Now, it's not exactly the same as Mary being the mother of that physical infant, Jesus, in her womb. But when we are born again, when we are regenerated by the Spirit, our bodies become the temples of the Spirit of the Lord. And if you read that text, Galatians 4:19, it says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until Christ be formed in you. And so you take that reckless, careless, prodigal sinner, no thought of God, no conscience of sin, and God works a miracle. The miracle of Christ formed in him so that he is made to love holiness. And our salvation and our sanctification is a miracle of grace. God takes these vile bodies that are stained with sin and he makes us holy. Now we know that in justification we are made legally holy. We have a standing with God. He has declared us righteous. But he also makes us personally holy. Everyone whom God justifies, he will sanctify. Now in this world, that sanctification is never perfect. We can never call ourselves sinless, as was our Lord Jesus. But there is in us the embryo, there is the beginnings of a life of holiness that we desire to be pure, God-like, Christ-like. We are being conformed into the image of God's Son. And that is the mighty power of the gospel. Now, when the Lord Jesus was preaching in earth, of course, he cleansed the leper. What a miracle that was. And what a demonstration it is of the gospel at work in believers. The Lord took one of his disciples. He was a tax collector. Could you imagine a more corrupt, greedy, grasping character than Matthew, the tax collector? Every one of those guys were hated, not just because they sided with the Romans, but because they were greedy. And the Lord made Matthew, the tax collector, a disciple, an ambassador of the Lord Jesus. What a work! And then the little man up the tree, Zacchaeus, the same. It was a miracle of grace. And so you can see here these two blessings. Mary was blessed being the chosen virgin. Blessed to be the chosen vessel that she would bring forth this newborn child. In verse 45, she was blessed with victorious faith. And blessed is she that believed. And here's the reason for the Christian victory and joy in Mary's heart. Doubters are outers. They don't get far. But when we believe and we accept what God states he's going to do, then the miracle will happen. Now, as you analyze Mary's faith, you'll notice from verse 38 that her faith was in the Lord's word to her. And it said, she said here in this verse, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And there is tremendous faith. That is how you and I are saved. That is how you and I are brought to the place of peace with God. According to his word, let it be to us. In verse 45, you'll notice that Mary's faith stated there would be a performance of the miracle. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things. Now you'll notice the link up. Blessed are you that believe, for there shall be a performance. And her faith was the necessary instrument to bring about the performance of this miracle in her own body and in her own life. And God always says to us, according to your faith, be it unto you. And of course, when we doubt, the Lord says to us, O ye of little faith. Little faith, little blessing. No faith, no blessing. And faith here for Mary was the essential element to her personal involvement and acceptance of this miracle. Verse 46 is another part where her faith is mentioned. It says here, "And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord." In whom was her faith? Her faith was not in the angel. It was not in his capabilities, but it was in the Lord, the one that would be in her womb and she would bring forth into the world. And from the very depths of her soul, Mary gave honor and due praise to her Lord. That is the right object of faith. If you are a believer tonight, you are not believing about yourself. You're not believing in your circumstances. You're not believing in your future performances. You are believing in a person, the Lord himself, and all that he does for his people and for his church. Then down in verse 47, you'll see again that Mary's faith was in the supernatural power of the Savior. "And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Now, Mary had to take the place of a sinner to call this Christ her Savior. And of course, that debunks the whole notion of Immaculate Mary. it really does away with this idea that she came into the world with some kind of supernatural superintendence, that she herself had been conceived in without sin and lived without sin, and now was the sinless woman walking the streets and ready vessel to be the sinless mother of the Lord. No, Mary says, I need a Savior. She recognized her need, not just of a teacher or a guide or a friend. She needed a Savior. And when you confess your need of a Savior, you are in really saying you're a sinner. You're lost and hopeless without one to represent you before God and be your Savior for all eternity. And the wonderful conclusion we make is that the Lord conceived Mary, in whose womb he created and delivered our Lord Jesus. He has power to save his people. That's the wonder of it all. We come to the fourth marker. We'll move to verse 48, and you will see that the confession of Mary is that she was humbling herself. She had the virtue of humility. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. This is really a rags-to-riches story. Not earthly riches. I don't think Mary ever lived in a palace. I don't think she ever had the extraordinary material blessings of this world. But she was taken from extreme poverty and hopelessness and given an honor and a role in the gospel that we're rejoicing in here tonight. And it speaks that her word is fulfilled in every way. From henceforth, all generations shall call me blessed. And we want to be like Mary. We want to be blessed just like her. She was full of thankfulness to the Lord for lifting her up into such blessing. To do that, she recognized her own poverty. She recognized her position as a servant. She called herself the handmaiden. She recognized her smallness in the presence of the one who is mighty. She made note of that in verse 49. For he that is mighty hath done to me great things. One of the chief marks of grace in any believer's heart is this virtue of humility. It is the telltale sign of conversion, genuine grace. When grain ripens, the head hangs. And when the believer is brought into union with the Lord Jesus, saved by grace, there will be, like John the Baptist, Christ must increase, I must decrease. There is an immediate taking the position as a sinner, taking the low position, and willing to exalt the Lord. And the thing that I notice here in this verse 48 is that the blessing never ends. It never stops. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. And when you are blessed of the Lord, chosen by him, be made to be his vessel, when you sit at his feet in humility as Mary did, then the mercy flows on and on. Truly, the Christian has the best of both worlds. Mr. Spurgeon said that if there was no heaven and no glory and no eternity, he would still want to live the Christian life because it is the best life, delivered from so many miseries and so many evils. But there is a heaven, and the blessing of being a believer in Christ doesn't end. And we have the best life in this world, and in the world to come, we shall be blessed for all eternity. Now, I got out my concordance and I looked up the word blessed in the book of Revelation. And I discovered that the word blessed appears seven times. Six of them relate to the future in glory. And I want to give you just three of them as we wrap up tonight. In Revelation 14, verse 13, we read, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Blessed are them that die in the Lord. You think of what men call their worst day on earth. The Lord refers to the Christian as our best day. The day when we leave behind this body, we leave behind the pain, the suffering, the anguish, the disappointments, the sorrows and the separations, and we are blessed to enter into the kingdom of God. The next text is Revelation 19:9. Write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Now, Mary talked about being blessed for all generations. We as believers are blessed right into eternity. Heaven is referred to as a marriage supper, a place of acceptance, of rejoicing, and of honor to the Lord, a place where we enter in to all the fullness of what the gospel offers to his people. The third text is Revelation 22:14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. The tree of life. Abundance, supply, satisfaction. Everything that we require to be blessed. Oh, this never ends. And so, Mary, this is a privilege indeed. And if the Lord calls you to be a Christian, that his Son, the Lord Jesus, be formed in you, you are blessed. Blessed today, blessed on the day of your death, blessed for all eternity. It doesn't get better than this. And so I call you tonight to the blessed life. Come as a sinner to Jesus. Come in your poverty as Mary was in her poverty. Come in your sinfulness as Mary confessed. Come by faith in the person and work of Jesus. Magnify the Lord as your Savior, and you will